Should we start?
Let's get started.
All right. Well, glad you're here. And let me ask the Lord to bless our time of gathering around his word today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have found a way to meet with us by sending your son, Jesus Christ. And now we're in a weird time where we have to find a way to meet with each other. And the one thing we know for sure is you meet with us through your word. And so we thank you for that and gather around it. And we thank you that we can even be connected via internet. So we give you thanks, and we ask that you would bless this time of worship, that we really need to be encouraged by your presence, by your power, and by your love, and by your promises to us. Holy Spirit, would you allow us, even sitting in our homes, to feel connected to all the saints, alive and already in heaven, to all the power and all the glory of God, that we might have access to all the comfort you have to offer us today. Because we just don't know exactly what's going on all the time. So help us, bless us, and now we turn our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. So we're going to open up today, and we're still going to do confession and absolution. And so I do encourage you, even for those of you at home, to, from memory, if you can, try to say this along with us, because we're still the body of Christ, and we're still united through Christ and in Christ with one another. So I will read the prayer of confession and then absolve all of you. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Now we are going to read Psalm chapter 142. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see. There is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry. For I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. So right now, there is a lot of confusion and anxiety and fear, but I want us to take a moment to sit quietly and reflect on what God has given us and reflect on that there are still things to be thankful for, that God is still good even when things are bad. And so personally for myself, I'm just thankful that we can still do this, but there's still a way for us to gather around God's word and to have something positive and hopeful in our lives when the noise all around us is negative, angry, and fearful. So just take a quiet moment to reflect on what is something you can be thankful for right now.
Well, I was just kind of overwhelmed. Even just playing the song, I felt the lyrics of the song, like, he walks with me, he talks with me. It was a really great old song Anthony chose for us to do. I'm just very thankful that we can be encouraged by the fact that our God comes to us and is with us, and he walks with us, and he talks with us. And so I'm thankful for that song, and I'm thankful for what I felt while we were singing it. I felt connected to God and his people. That's one thing I was thankful for. Did you have anything else? I mean, I have more. I'll just share more. I'm also thankful. I've been telling my wife and my kids, I'm thankful every day we get. I'm just thankful for the beauty that we've been able to go outside in our backyard and take walks at night. I'm thankful for the health of our people. And I'm just really aware that part of living as a Christian, living as a creature of God, who's the creator, we're in a position to say thank you, that everything we have is a gift. And that's kind of the first place we begin in our worship, is saying thank you for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you for giving us this moment right now. We are safe. We are fed. We are clothed. And we are worshiping God. We're in the safest place we can possibly be around his word. So I'm thankful for that. And it takes effort to hold on to that spirit of thanksgiving when you are in the situation we are in as a culture right now. But that's why this is really important. So take the time you already have. Thank God for what you have right now. And we give him then praise. We move into praising him. Yeah. So we're going to read our passage today. It is taken from John chapter 9. We're continuing our Conversations with Jesus series. So just as you find a Bible to follow along or just listen, prepare your hearts to hear this story of Jesus talking to a blind beggar. Now, the previous weeks, he's talked to Nicodemus, who came at midnight. And he said, I'm not here to condemn you, Nicodemus. You must be born from above. You'll be born of water and the Spirit. Then last week, he talked to the lady at the well. He's like, I'm here to make you right, to satisfy your need to be righteous. And today, he's going to talk to the blind man. So let's get into it. We'll read verse 1 through 7.
On chapter 9.
Chapter 9.
Of John.
And then we will read 13 through 17, and then 34 through 39. It's a very long chapter, so we're going to break it up to make sense of it. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Verse 13 through 17.
They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such things? And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet.
Some more things happen, and we get to verse 34 through 39. They answered, the Pharisees answered, You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said, You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God.
So, we enter into a conversation with a blind man. And what do you think, Matt?
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things going on here. The disciples are like trying to figure out this man's fate and why he's blind, and they're trying to reason it out for themselves, asking Jesus, so whose fault was this that he's blind? Did he sin? Did his parents sin? So they're trying to figure that out. Then Jesus drops, I'm the light of the world, spits into some mud and puts it on the guy's eyes and says, go wash in a pool in Siloam. What's going on?
Well, then I have to say, what's going on is this has always been one of my favorite stories. Val can attest to it. Back in the mid-90s, I remember loving this story. And I asked myself this week, reading it, why did I love it so much? And the reason is because this blind beggar becomes a guy who then stands up to the Pharisees and says, I was born blind, and now I can see. This is amazing. And they're going, no, Jesus didn't do this for you. You're lying. Yeah. And so I've always liked it because the guy has a bit of sarcasm. He has a bit of challenge, and I like that. But this week, as I was looking at rereading it, I'm like, why do I really like this story? And I realized I like it, and it ministers to me because Jesus sees somebody who everybody else ignores. He listens to them. He heals them. And then he empowers them to be a person who is heard. And my whole life, I've always needed that.
Yeah,
I've needed to be seen. And so I love this story because Jesus sees you. And he heals you. And then he empowers you to be something way beyond what anybody else could ever imagine for you. So that's the idea for me today. We can unpack it, what it means for Jesus to see you. But that's the arc of the story for me.
Yeah. So getting down to even the reason this blind man is first noticed, it's in a negative light. The disciples, Jesus' closest followers, are trying to figure out what's this guy's problem and why is he worse off than we are? So we must be better than this guy. And that's what we're constantly doing, is we're constantly evaluating ourselves with others. But Jesus really sees him, and he's looking at his boys around him going, this guy's no worse than you. I see this guy. I know what's going on. You guys live in a world that is broken and uncertain. But I'm here to speak into it.
I like the idea that the disciples, as well as all of us, we are in the midst of a pandemic. And the first question we all have is, who's to blame?
Right.
What did we do wrong? Who do we look to? Why is this happening? And that's what the disciples do. It's a theological question, because it's beyond what we can understand. It's beyond our own power. And so the disciples have this theological question, which begins with sin. And we have to put the blame, brokenness. Like, this is wrong. He's blind. It must be his fault or his parents' fault. Those are the only two choices. And what Jesus does is he always interacts with us honestly. And he doesn't even address their question, because to Jesus, it's absurd. He's like, wrong question, boys.
That's an endless rabbit hole.
Because the reason he's blind the reason right now is that I'm here. That the works of God might be displayed in him. That's why he's blind. And that was going to your point of the reality is we're all broken, but we're trying to figure it out. And Jesus says, stop trying to figure it out and see each other.
Right.
See who's broken. And I just think about this blind beggar. I feel like if you've ever been, well, we've all been hurt. And so I think we can identify with a blind beggar to some degree where we're being ignored. So he's blind. He can't make money. He's sitting in front of the place of God, hearing people go in, hearing worship, smelling sacrifice, smelling all the things that he can't be a part of, saying, please help. He knows when someone walks by. He doesn't know who it is. And you imagine people are being quiet when they're walking by him. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't like to look at a homeless person in the eyes. Like, that's hard when they're asking for money. Imagine a blind guy in front of church. Please help. Either you help him or you don't. And so they don't even want to be noticed by him.
Well, I was thinking too, so the time that this story is taking place is during the Festival of Booths,
yeah,
when they're remembering how God took care of the people of Israel in the wilderness. So here's a blind guy outside of the house of God who needs to be taken care of during the midst of a celebration of this nation remembering how God took care of them in one of their darkest moments and how God miraculously provided for them. And here's Jesus showing up and saying, I'm here to do that for you right now. I am the way that God is going to take care of you in your darkest moments, and I'm going to bring light into these moments.
But even in the midst of a festival, the idea is, this guy's a sinner.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's blind.
Yeah. He's out.
You're a sinner. Obviously, you're blind. You're wrong. You're doing something wrong. There's a pandemic. And we buy into that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why conversations with Jesus are so important. So we go back to him, and Jesus says, come here, disciples. I'm going to take time with this. I don't know if you can think of a time when someone actually saw you. They didn't just see how you were dressed or your problems or whatever. It's pretty powerful. I can think of a few times in my life where somebody like really saw me. The most recent one is, when I was already a pastor, but I was going to go into the Lutheran denomination, and you have to go through all these steps to get ordained there. After already being ordained, I have to transfer. And so I went through the process, and they said, great, you know your stuff, you have a seminary education, so all you got to do is go back to seminary for 2 years instead of 3 or 4. We're going to give you 2 years. And I said, I can't do that. I have a family, and my wife's here. And then they said, well, just 1 year. They tried, but they're trying to help. There's an average, right? And they're trying to help the most people they can, so they have this structure, but they're not seeing me or hearing me. I'm like, I can't move to St. Louis. I can't do these things. My wife, my children. And so for about a year or so, every time I was around pastors, they're like, how's the transition going? And I said, I'm not emotionally ready to do what they want me to do. I just can't do it. Until one day, Herb Mueller.
Yep.
Herb Mueller was the vice president. And I thought of him last night because I'm telling Matt this for the first time, but he just passed away.
No way.
I know. It's such a bummer. So I thought of him because he's in heaven worshiping with us today. It's like his second day there, first day. And I was reminded that that guy came out here and he met with me for a weekend. And he got to know my story. He got to know our family. He actually came to our little warehouse church. And I was kind of nervous because I'm like, I don't know if we do church right. But he was so gracious. We probably didn't do it right. But he didn't care because he saw my heart. Then he met with me for a whole Saturday. He said, how do you want to do this? And he's like, I won't make you do anything. I think you know your stuff. And I said, well, I want to learn more. And so he gave me books to read. I had a conversation with him for a year, and I took some classes because I wanted to. But that guy saw me.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for him. And I'm really sad he passed away, but I also know he's with the Lord. But all that to say, Jesus sees you. And he meets you. And he knows. But then for me, it goes beyond like your fear, your pain, and shame. Right now, I know if I say, what does your future hold?
Right.
It should click, at least for people, adults. If I say, what's your future? Some of you might be like, well, it's okay because we're an essential business. And, you know, good, got in the right field. Others of us are going, why did I choose this field? Why did I do these things? I took these risks and it worked out. And you start to blame yourself. Whose fault is it? And Jesus says to his disciples, and he says to us, I'm not just going to tell you this. I'm here to do my work. I'm going to show you. So he says, here's the whole story. Your story and my story is not just you've made mistakes. Now you have to be broke and you have to beg and you're blind. And it's someone's fault, that's it. So there's a crime and there's punishment. Jesus says, here's the whole story. See, that's our limited story. He goes, the whole story is creation is good, sin has broken it, and I will restore it. So then, in our third conversation in a row, Jesus uses water.
Yes.
So first of all, he takes dirt,
yep,
dust, we were made from the dust. He spits in it.
Yep.
To me, spit is voice. If you were here right now, you would be getting some of my spittle, which is why you're not here. it's spit comes from your mouth. He mixes it together, puts it on his eyes, touches the blind man.
Yep.
Who knows the last time he's been touched? Because you don't want to get sinful going to the synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
Then says, go and wash. It's like, I know sometimes it feels like we're obsessed with baptism, but I'm telling you, Jesus is the one who's obsessed with it.
Yes.
The last three conversations, he says, water in the Spirit, living waters, go wash in the water. I don't know what you think about that.
No, I was thinking that too, because especially in light of this festival, the two things they're thankful for is the light of God that guided them through the wilderness, and then the water and the rock that provided
right.
for them. And so this is God, or Jesus, meeting them, saying to this blind man, I am your light, and now I'm going to give you water that's going to restore your sight. And personally, I love the fact, so he sends him to the well of Siloam, which Siloam's only mentioned one other time, and Jesus references it, and it's where a tower just randomly fell and killed a bunch of people in this city. And during that conversation, the disciples ask a similar question. Whose fault was it? Who sinned that caused that tower to fall? And here's Jesus, I think, interacting not with just this blind man, but also a sight of a tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And providing healing. And so now Siloam is being restored to a place of healing and restoration, where a blind man's sight is restored. And
washed.
It's not just a sight of death and a random tragedy.
Well,
it's now restoration and recreation.
And I like your connection to what's happened at the festival, because even the context of that festival is you're in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And God provides his light at night, his pillar during the day to protect you from the sun, water for 600,000 people in the desert. I love that, because think about the anxiety. The anxiety we're feeling today is similar to the people in the desert, but God provides for us. He knows. He always has provided, and he always will provide. He will be with you in life and in death. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So he knows the whole story. The last idea for me is then he shows us what Jesus sees.
Oh,
so Jesus sees you, Jesus sees the whole story, and then he shows it to us. He opens up our eyes, right? So
yeah,
think about with the blind man.
Yeah, so then he actually now leads this blind man into a life he could never have imagined or gotten on his own. I think a lot of times we get so used to living without God that when God breaks into our lives, it's like the light. It's like when you turn the lights on in your teenager's bedroom, and they're like, ah!
Oh.
I just remember from my own time as a teenager, my dad would like burst into my room and flick the lights on, and like immediately like the covers go up, and I try to hide from the light, and I'm like, no.
Oh, I get it. It's time to go. Yeah, in the morning. I thought you had a teenager stashed away. And
yes.
I was like, what? No teenagers. Your dad. Okay.
Yeah.
No,
so like when you
wake up and you're like, no.
No, and you hide from the light because it's shocking, because you become used to the darkness and you like it. And I think that happens with us, is we become so used to living without God that when he does break into our lives, our initial reaction is to go, no, what are you doing? And this is what the Pharisees are doing, is the Pharisees are like, what's going on? Stop. We like what we've built. But Jesus is revealing, you guys don't know how messed up everything is, and I'm here to restore that back to you. And to the blind man, it's like the light at the dark of a tunnel that he's eagerly going towards, and now is walking out into something he never thought he would see.
Right. Like Jesus opens our eyes, you can't unsee it. So once the blind man sees the light, he actually sees now things. God takes him from someone who's dependent on everybody and being ignored to someone who can't be ignored. And now he has something to say, which is, this guy's a prophet.
Yeah.
At one point in the conversation, the Pharisees accuse him of being a disciple. And he says, well, it sounds like you want more information about Jesus. It sounds like you want to be his disciples. And that's why they get so mad. And they're like, shut up. Yeah, because
throw him out.
Now they hate him. So in their minds, nothing changes because they don't receive any sight. For the blind man, everything changes. And for us, when our eyes open up to the reality of the world, which is every day we are under the threat of sickness and death and hardship. Every day, not just recently. This is the state of the world, and it breaks God's heart. We weren't created for death. We were created for life. So when your eyes are open and you've experienced the hardship and Jesus has met with you and restored you, you can't unsee that. You're going to speak about it. And so this guy becomes one of the head theologians in this little area. He starts going toe-to-toe with the Pharisees, proclaiming Christ, and as a result gets kicked out. But what does he care? He was never allowed in.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm going to follow Jesus. And then what I love about conversations with Jesus is that after he heals, and as confusing as they get, he always follows up. And he says, do you want to know what happened? And the guy says, yeah. He says, do you know who the Savior is? The guy says, show me. I don't know. He goes, you're looking at him. It's so cool. You have eyes now. You're looking at him. And he says, do you believe? And the blind man says, I believe. And that's when Jesus says, look, you have sight. Those of you who have faith today, you have sight. Don't be ashamed of that. It's not going to make sense to the world that thinks they see everything and they think they have all the data and they have all the science. They're still freaking out. But you have God, the Son of Man, who has come to you, who cures diseases, who heals and restores life. And he says, you're looking at him. And now you can see yourself as safe in him. And you can see others as, oh, I'm free now to love others. I can give, I can pray. I'm protected by Jesus Christ. He's death proof. He's recession proof. Right?
Yeah.
And so I just think he starts now to show us. And so that's what my heart is that what are you scared of today? What are you scared of? Name it. Be honest. Don't try to act like it's okay. Money is a real thing, you know? Jobs are a real thing. Health is a real thing. So we don't have to be the people who are like,
I'm fine.
I'm fine. Okay. I'm going to solve it. No. The sooner you go, Lord, I'm blind here. I have no idea what tomorrow brings. I have no idea. I need you. The better. The sooner you will see. You'll see Jesus. And then you don't just admit it and say, oh, I'm helpless. But then that's when you have this conversation with Jesus and allow him to say, I know you. I love you.
I see you.
I see you. I see what's going on, and I see what's down the road. And I promise you, I'm going to be with you down the road. I'm going to be with you forever and ever. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. That's what needs to be pounded into our hearts now, and it's moment by moment.
Yeah.
Because the temptation is great just to go, how am I going to finish school? How are we going to do our tests? How is college going to go? I'm blind here. Yep. And no one seems to, like, people
no
care.
Seems, yeah. Well, especially now when we're going to be a little more isolated and separated from one another, you're going to feel like you're alone now more than ever. And so now is a great time to anchor on the reality that you have a God who sees you and personally meets with you and speaks to you through his word and through the family that he does gather around you. And that's why I'm so glad we can do this.
I know.
Is that we can still share this God with one another.
We still have hope.
This light.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not alone. You're not alone. God is with you.
And the Lord shows us what Jesus sees. That's what we get. And if there's one phrase, too, it's all glory to God and all comfort to his people, that we are comforted by this. Praise God.
Praise God.
So let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus Christ coming to us, and that Jesus Christ went from village to village healing. Let's not forget that he healed everybody. That's why everybody was flocking to him. We flock to you now. Heal our hearts and our minds. and apply to us the peace that passes all understanding in Jesus Christ, that it would guard our hearts and our minds. You would minister all your comfort to us in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All glory to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So we wanted to praise God by confessing what it is we believe.
And be reminded that we're not alone and that there is a community of people who believe the same thing.
Right. And so these creeds are intended to be said with regularity to anchor you in the reality of God's creation, with his redemption, and with his sanctification. So let's read or recite the Apostles' Creed together, confirming our faith and announcing it to the world.
Christians, what is it that you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. At this point in time, too, we would usually have a time of offering and prayer. And so I do want to acknowledge there's a lot of prayer requests right now. The main ones are that the Lord, and here's what we can pray to the God of all creation. Lord, please stop this pandemic. Please bring it to an end. Please protect the countries. Please curb it, and please provide for life to be restored. So that's the first thing. And then we just break it down to our family and our friends, praying for health. But we're also praying for employment. Yeah. I know that already, even in our congregation, there's already people that you're either fearing for your job or you've already know there's a hit. Mm-hmm. And so we're praying with you and for you that God would provide all of your needs, and that whatever needs to happen, we pray that he would give you the energy and the foresight and lead the right people to make adjustments. But we also have each other. And so you're not alone in that. And we make our needs known to God and to one another. And right. Just know, honestly, it's like I care for my wife and my children and then and our family and then you. So you're on my list to care for. And I know I'm on your list. And so that's a great benefit. And we just pray for one another for that. Anything else? That seems like the most pressing prayers
as far
today.
As prayer requests. And then, so as far as offering and Lord's Supper. So remember offering, you can still give online. If you haven't set that up, you can go to our website and hit the giving page. And there's a little button that lets you do that.
I just want to say a thing before you move on. So yeah, you can give after we're done here. And I do want to encourage you. It's newcitynow.com.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I want to encourage you, though, that during these times are when you're going to start to justify not giving. And I'm just saying, it's very hard. You decide with the Lord what to do. But I do want to say, money is not our God. Money doesn't see you. Money doesn't know you. So just, I want to make sure that money stays in its healthy place for us when it gets tight as much as when it's in abundance. Mm-hmm. And so the opportunity is to say, Lord, we love you and we give to you so that the word of God can continue, so that the places where the word of God is put out faithfully would not be shut down. And so you're giving back to God, saying thank you that he's given to you. So it's an act of worship and thanksgiving. Just know that as you walk through hard times, it's good to know these things and go, all right, Lord, this is stretching my faith, or forgive me, I can't do it. It's something to work out and have conversations with Jesus about.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then for the Lord's Supper, we still think it's important and we still want to offer it. And so we will contact you throughout this week, and we're going to try to figure out ways for us to give you the Lord's Supper. And just wait to hear from us on that. But we're going to figure it out because we believe it's worth figuring out.
So look for a text from us asking you, working it out.
We'll work it out. All right.
So let's pray, and then we'll do the Lord's Prayer, because again, that anchors us in reality. Then we'll sing a few songs. And again, we're so thankful that you guys are with us. We love New City. We love our church. So let me pray for everyone.
Yeah.
Father, thank you for allowing us to gather around your word. Thank you for, I think of it as meals that we eat together. You know, our worship isn't everything forever. It's just a meal that nourishes us. It strengthens us. It reminds us. It brings us together in fellowship. It reminds us of how loved we are. But Lord, we come with all of our concerns, and we ask you, we give you our fear and ask that you would replace it with faith. We give you our powerlessness in the economy and with health, and ask that you, Lord, would heal our bodies, you would heal our diseases, and you would restore and provide for your people. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen our faith, that we wouldn't be overwhelmed or tempted to leave you or to despair, but rather we would keep coming back to you, drinking from the living waters, being satisfied in the moment by your presence to us through Jesus Christ, by your word spoken to us, by your Lord's Supper, by the baptism where we have died with Christ and risen with him and now walk in newness of life. Lord, bless our families. I want to pray for everyone in our church, and I do during the week, but Lord, I pray you bless all of our people. Bless New City Church. Bless all of our families and friends that are connected. And bless our communities. Bless America. Bless the world. We ask for you to be involved in this, Lord, for good. Bring us repentance and faith. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And then we pray together the prayer the Lord taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All right, everyone may be seated. I know you're dancing around your living room. And I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Let me receive the
benediction.
Let me give the benediction where we get to bless you for this week. Thanks so much for being with us. This was great. So what we'll do is I'll pronounce God's blessing over you, receive it, and then we'll do a few announcements on what's going on, what we can kind of expect, but we've pretty much said it all. And I'm going to go back over here. All right. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and give you grace. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace now and forever. Amen.